Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my gorgeous one. What a gift it is to be back here with you. I took a little break from the podcast over Christmas and it feels like such a joy to be back here. Having had a little pause and a little time to fill myself back up, and I hope that you are feeling, yeah, good after the break. I know that the break can bring up a lot, but simultaneously, I hope you found some time to rest and to be and, yeah, feeling a little bit more filled up after some, well, hopefully some time off if you took time off. So if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen the other day I referred to a situation that happened back in God knows when, 2018, perhaps 2018. When I chased a man around London with some ham. If you don't follow me on Instagram, you might be like, what the hell are you talking about? But I was asked by a lot of people to share the ham story, and I was going to do it on Instagram. And I was like, you know what? This story needs a podcast because I can't get it across on the annoying Instagram story slides. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna record a whole episode on this. And there is a reason that I'm recording an episode. It's not just to spew my own personal stories. This is an important episode for anyone who has found themselves doing like kind of crazy shit when they're dating someone, and they really like someone and things start going a little bit awry. I'm going to share my story, and I'm going to share what I now know and what I wish I had known back then. And my hope is that in sharing what I know now, that for those of you who find yourself in these dynamics periodically, do you have something to take away that you can have a different perspective on, yeah, these experiences. So take yourself back to the days pre-COVID when, actually that's totally irrelevant, but it was in 2018, and I was back in banking, and I was the only single one in my group of school friends, and to be honest, the only single one in my uni friend group as well. Like, there were very few single girls around. I created myself like a little group of maybe like five of us that used to hang out together, but the majority of my friends were in relationships, and I wasn't hugely enjoying my job. When I say I wasn't hugely enjoying my job, I did not enjoy my job at all. It was very well paid. I was doing pretty well, but it felt kind of soulless. I knew that it wasn't really for me long term, but I didn't have a partner. So I was like, I'm not really at the phase of being able to be like, hey, I'm going to quit my job and go and have a baby, which seemed like what everyone else was going to do, which in hindsight is really weird. But like, the fact that I was like, maybe the way out of this job is just to have a baby. But I was in this space of not really loving my job, not having a partner. So being like, what do I do? Like, what do I do with my life here? I don't have the next step laid out for me. I don't love this work. I'm not going to quit this work because it pays me really well. And it's like, the part of me that's impressive and the part of me that I can like kind of stand behind in a way, in conversation with random people and be like, hey, I work for JP Morgan. I'm like clever and work on a trading floor. Oh, the compassion I have for that version of me. So yeah, I was in a space of working a lot, not having a partner, really wanting a partner because I felt like that would give me like a sense of being back in the clan. Like, everyone else had a partner, so I needed one. And also in truth, because I felt quite lonely. And there was a part of me that wanted to be loved and thought that if I had a partner, I would feel loved and I would feel accepted and I would finally feel good enough. Because in truth, I had never really had partners. Like, I hadn't had loads of boyfriends at school. I hadn't had boyfriends in my early 20s. I had like one or two, but it was never really a long-term thing. So I felt like I needed to find a long-term partner in order to prove that I could be chosen by a man, because I didn't feel like I had proof that like anyone would ever choose me. So when people would say to me like, oh, you'll meet your person, I'd be like, I don't actually have proof of that. Like, that has not happened thus far. So I don't see why that's suddenly going to happen. So there was a lot of eggs in the basket of meeting a person. Now, I found myself at a wedding of a school friend of mine. And I went to a lot of weddings single. Fuck me. I went to a lot of weddings single. And a lot of the time I had quite a nice time. It was also kind of hard, like the whole getting ready thing. And like your friends would be getting ready with their partners. And I'd be like on my own or with like one friend in an Airbnb getting ready. And I was going to this wedding that was actually in London, which was pretty rare because a lot of the weddings that I went to were out of town. And I felt like I was going to know quite a lot of people at this wedding because it turned out that this friend of mine was, well, it didn't turn out, she just was. This friend of mine I went to school with and I also went to uni with. So there was like a plethora of people that I was possibly going to know at this wedding. And I went and I was feeling quite awkward, to be honest, for quite a lot of it, partly because I knew a lot of people there that I hadn't seen for ages. And I was like, I feel so embarrassed. I'm still the woman that's not been chosen and I'm swanning around this wedding alone. And, and also, I used to just get really drunk quite a lot at weddings. So I did what Lucy did back in those days and I got really drunk. And I ended up bumping into this person that I knew from somewhere. I will not say where, but I knew him from somewhere. And I had never really thought very much of this person. Like, I mean, he was a nice person, but I didn't think like there was ever any potential between us. But somehow in my drunken haze, I was like, this is my man. And we ended up kissing on the dance floor, as you do at a wedding. Actually, that never happened to me at a wedding. This was the only wedding I ever met anyone. But I ended up with this guy. And I woke up the next morning at my friend's house and I was like, oh my God, did that happen with this person? You know, when you're like, oh my God, like I've known him for ages. Like maybe this is a thing or maybe I've just really embarrassed myself. And then he started messaging me. It's like, right, there is perhaps a potential with this person. Like maybe this is my man. And obviously my mind started then going into like, oh my God, of course, this makes sense. Like I've known him for a long time. Like he knows my friends. Like this is it. Like how did I not see this? You know how people say like, oh, you end up marrying someone that you've known for 10 years. Like it's always this person you've always known. So I was like, oh my God, it's here. Like this is the person. This is the person I'm going to marry. And we went on our first date and I came away from that date being like, well, I'm done. Like I am done. Like this is the guy. Obviously, like this all makes so much sense. Like I was like imagining our future children. I was imagining our holidays, like what we were going to do. Like I was imagining the whole thing, right? Anyone else do this? When you've started dating someone and you've started like just totally projecting an entire future ahead of you when you don't know anything about the person? Like, oh, anyway, I was in this whole thing of like, I am just so excited about this person and this is it. And I remember telling friends like, oh my God, like, I think it's like going to become a thing. We had been on about 2 dates at this point. No word of life, 2 dates. And I was convinced that I was like, well, it all makes sense because, you know, he knows some of my friends and I've known him for a while. And like, we come from a similar social background and blah, 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 blah. Like created a whole long narrative about why I was going to marry this person. And we probably went on through the period after this wedding, I would say about 4 dates, which in hindsight is not very much. But I had created over the period of these 4 dates a whole narrative in my head about this person and about how we were going to end up together. Like he was the person for me. There was no doubt. In my mind, like I'd already told all my friends that like I've met my future husband. And I had just decided that this was him. Now, back in the days of banking, I used to have to go on a lot of business trips. And I had a business trip to Madrid planned. And I used to go for like 2 nights or whatever and see clients and then fly back to London. And we had a date planned for the evening that I flew back from Madrid. Now, about a day before I flew to Madrid, stuff started getting murky. You know when like the energy changes, something shifts, you can't really put your finger on it, but like we had met up for a coffee when I was in a business meeting near where his office was and energy was kind of a bit funky. And then like it started getting a bit quieter on text and I started panicking. So internally, I was like, okay, well, it's done. Like, something's happened. I don't know what's happened, but I was feeling very, very anxious to the point where, like, I was refreshing my WhatsApp about 16 million times a day. Like, I was constantly on my WhatsApp, like, feeling so incredibly anxious. Like, what's happened? He's about to dump me. I don't know what's going on. Like, really, really, really incredibly anxious at this point. And like, the only thing that could make me feel better was if I got a message from him. So I'd have these periods of like extreme anxiety, like in Heathrow Airport, like refreshing my WhatsApp, being like, oh my God, is he going to message me? Is he going to message me? And then I'd get a message and be like, oh my God, it's all okay. And then I'd get very, very anxious again. Now, we had this date plan for the night that I got back from Madrid. And he'd kind of gone a bit quiet over the period whilst I was in Madrid. And I was so anxious. Like, I remember lying in the hotel room. I used to stay in these like beautiful hotels because, you know, the bank used to pay for me to stay in beautiful hotels. Lying in this like beautiful bed in Madrid and like just refreshing my WhatsApp, like couldn't sleep, heart palpitations, feeling so unbelievably anxious. And then finally, on the morning that I was going to fly back, I got a message from him like confirming that we were going to meet up. So I was like, oh, it's all fine. Like, I've just created this whole thing in my head. Like, it's all fine. We're going to meet up. It's all good. So I had my meetings for the day. I was feeling like pepped up and all good. And I got to Madrid Airport at like 4 p.m. or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, what can I do to like be the amazing woman that's just like flown in from Madrid and is so impressive? And I went to this like Iberico ham shop in Madrid Airport and bought him like a packet of some ridiculous ham that was like £50 for like a tiny packet of ham. And I bought it and I was like, I'm just like an amazing woman and he's obviously gonna love me because I bought him this ham. And we got on the airplane. I got on the airplane. And we were like just about to take off, you know, when they're saying like, put your phone in airplane mode or whatever. So I like was just checking my messages, you know, finally checking the messages. And I checked my WhatsApp and there was a message from him that said, hey, I'm not really sure if I'm seeing a future in us. So perhaps it's better that we don't meet up this evening. My whole body went into like freaking turmoil, like absolute turmoil. Like, I felt so anxious. I was like, oh my God, I'm on a plane. I can't like fucking manage this somehow. Like, I can't call him. I can't fix this. Like, I must fix it now. I must make sure that he like comes back to me and wants to see me. So I sent him this message in like a frenzy, pre-ChatGPT days, where people, I'm sure now use ChatGPT to create messages for people. Created a message in a frenzy, basically being like, oh, like, that's totally cool. Don't worry. But like, let's meet up anyway. Like, it would be cool to see you. Like, no stress. Try to just be like, please see me. Like, in my head, I was like, no, because if I see him, he'll realize that he's actually wrong and he does want to be with me. So to put my phone on airplane mode. And I sat on this plane so anxious for however long it is to Madrid, 2 hours or whatever. So anxious, like unbearably uncomfortable. Like, I obviously couldn't check my phone. I couldn't see if he'd replied. I was like, this is just hell on earth. So I landed in London and I turned my phone back on and I opened WhatsApp and there was a message from him being like, okay, cool. Like, let's go for a drink. And we were going to have dinner and it's going to be this whole thing. I was like, okay, let's just go for a drink. So I get off the plane and I'm like, the amount of relief in my body at that point, it was literally like I had somehow escaped a death threat. I was like, oh my God, it's all fine now. It's all fine now. Like, it's all going to be fine. I'm going to see him. It's all going to be fine. So I ran through Heathrow. Like, I have never gone so fast through an airport, and I'm a pretty fast walker. Like, people around me are often like, Lucy, you are just fast at things generally. But I was like sprinting through Heathrow Airport with this fucking ham in my hand with my like wheelie suitcase, like barging through people genuinely as if I was running to like save a loved one from some horrendous thing, or like running to a hospital because I just found out that like I was giving birth or something. I was running through the airport, like ran onto the Heathrow Express, was like trying to get the Heathrow Express to go faster by like shaking my body, be like, come on, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And got to Paddington, like sprinted. I think I walked from Paddington to a meeting in Marylebone, and which is, for those of you who aren't in London, like probably like a 25 minute walk or something. I probably walked that in like 10 minutes. I was sprinting across town, went into this bar and was sitting there like waiting for him because I'd obviously got there before him. I was waiting there with my suitcase and my ham, just in a absolute frenzy of like, okay, Lucy, like now you just got to be the most perfect date and like you're going to make it all work and it's all going to be fine. Remember, guys, I had been on 4 dates with this person. 4 dates. That is it. Like, we had not been intimate. We had not slept in a bed together. Like, 4 dates. And, but of course, he was going to be the man that I was going to marry, right? Like, I decided. And he turned up and I gave him the ham. And I tried to put on my peppiest face and was like, it's all going to be amazing. Obviously, it's all going to be amazing. And we had a drink. And then he like said like, okay, actually, maybe let's go for dinner. So in my head, I was like, we won. Like, well done, Lucy. Your plan has worked. You've won him over. So we went for dinner and I had this dinner and it was all great. And then I woke up the next morning. And I said to him, I was like, oh, so like, I'm assuming you don't mean what you said yesterday, like when I was on the airplane and stuff. He was like, no, no, I still do. Like, I don't think this is going to go any further. I took the day off work. I was so hungover from the dinner. I was so unbearably heartbroken. And I couldn't get out of bed. Now, this story... I look back at that version of me and I have so much compassion for what she was experiencing and why she chased the man across London with the ham. I have so much compassion. Now, if I look back at it now, knowing what I know now, what would have been helpful for me to understand at that point in time was my anxiety and my like desperation to try to get this guy back and to get our relationship, not that we even had a relationship, but like to get our dating trajectory back on track. That anxiety had very, very, very little to do with the man. It had very little to do with him. If I were to look back and could speak to her whilst she was sitting in Heathrow Airport, before she even went to Madrid and was like, something's a bit funky, I would have said to that woman, my sweet love, you're feeling really anxious right now. And you're feeling really anxious because you're sensing somehow that there's a rupture in a relationship that you've become over-attached to. And that slight rupture is triggering something from your past. It's triggering a fear of being left, of being alone. And it has nothing to do with this man. I would have asked that woman, like, how old do you feel right now? And she probably would have replied, like, I feel really young. I suddenly feel very young. Because the truth is, when we're triggered in this way in relational dynamics, most of the time we're not dealing with our adult selves. Like, we look back at those scenarios and we're like, that did not seem entirely rational, you know? How many times have you done that where you're like, that did not feel rational. And the reason it doesn't feel rational is because part of us that has come online in those experiences is very, very young. And that part of us, or that part of me, I should say, learned that in order to keep people close, in order to make sure that I'm not left and I'm not alone, I have to cling. I have to perform. I have to make sure that I'm in control of the whole dynamic. Like, if I can perform well enough, if I can be shiny enough, if I can like manage to somehow portray this version of me that is so perfect and has got her shit together, like, then they won't leave. But it was not about him. It was not about him. Relational anxiety and relational avoidance. So when you get the ick, or when you're suddenly like, oh, it's too much, or you feel suddenly numb in relational dynamics, it has very little to do with the other person. It has very, very little to do with the other person. It's triggering very, very deep childhood or ancestral or perhaps earlier dating dynamics in your teenage years or whatever. It's triggering something from the past. Usually it's triggering childhood dynamics. Because in childhood, the perceived loss of connection with a caregiver is actually fundamentally dangerous for a child. Like, if a child loses connection with a parent, loses connection with someone that's looking after them, they can't look after themselves. Like, a five-year-old can't, like, walk down to Sainsbury's and buy some food and cook themselves dinner. Like, they can't. So they need that connection. So the perceived loss of connection is incredibly threatening for a child. And it may not be that there actually was loss of connection. Like, for me, there wasn't actual loss of connection in my childhood particularly. But there can be a perceived loss of connection. And that perceived loss of connection creates a huge amount of anxiety that can be triggered when there is a perceived loss of connection with someone that we are dating. Now, why does this happen in dating and not in friendship dynamics? Well, first of all, I'd say it probably does happen in friendship dynamics to a certain degree, but it's less triggering, so maybe you don't notice it. In dating dynamics, because of the intensity of the connection, it brings up all of our childhood stuff, always. Like, most of the time when you're dating someone, what's actually happening is, like, it's two inner children coming together, trying to get their childhood needs met through the other person. Horrible realization, but it's true. And when we can recognize that when we're dating and when we have these spirals or we start behaving in ways that we're like, what the hell was that? We realize that actually it's not about the other person. And that anxiety that I was experiencing back then was such a huge invitation. It was the biggest gift. And I'm so grateful for that anxiety, because it was actually what ended up, like, throwing myself, why I ended up throwing myself into this work, because I was suddenly realized after that break in perceived breakup, I was like, this is not a rational response to something that I've been in for four dates. It's not rational. So, like, there has to be something else going on. Whenever our emotional response is out of proportion to the stimulus, it's history talking. It's not the present. It's like our body is rehashing something from the past that our body has been reminded of through what is happening in the present. But the reaction is a historical reaction. So we actually can't heal the historical reaction in the present through that partner or through that date, whatever. This is what we always try and do. Like, well, I'll feel better when they text back. I feel, like, calm when they text back, so they have to text back. How disempowering is that? How fucking disempowering is that? To be like, the only way that I can feel calm in this relationship, the only way that I can feel still, the only way I can feel empowered is that they always have to be messaging me. Like, that's fucking disempowering. And that is not me saying that in early relational dynamics, if you have anxious tendencies, which a lot of us do, that is not me saying that you don't have a right in early dating to say to someone, I have anxious tendencies in relationship. It's important to have consistent communication. I said that to Thomas at the beginning of our relationship because I knew that I needed consistent communication in order to be able to show up in my highest self with lower likelihood of me spinning out and doing something crazy. But in the long term, whilst we're in the process of healing this stuff, it is okay to do that. But in the long run, we don't want to be living a life when we are dependent on the only way that I will ever feel safe in this world is if this person is always available to me. That's not life. It's not life. We can't rely on other people to make us feel safe. Now, there's complication and nuance here because obviously we need our needs to be met in a relationship. And this is not me saying that people should stay in really toxic dynamics where they're not getting their communication needs met and they're constantly spinning out in anxiety thinking like, I need to heal this anxiety. No. Like, you are allowed to ask in relationship for your communication needs to be met if you have anxious tendencies or if you have avoidant tendencies for that matter, or if you have any tendencies. But is still your responsibility to heal it. Like, you can ask for that need to be met by a partner, but it's not their responsibility to meet it. Like, you could then say, actually, this is not going to work for me. I can't be with you because you can't meet my communication needs. But it's your responsibility to heal the fact that if someone doesn't message you straight away, you get super anxious. Like, that's your wounding. Now, for me, with this guy back then, he was not my future husband. We were not meant for each other. I had created a whole illusionary narrative in my head that he was my person because I was convinced that if only I had a boyfriend, if only I was in a relationship, then I would finally feel okay. That's also not true. Our happiness is our own responsibility. Yes, we are a communal species. Yes, we need connection. But a relationship doesn't necessarily make you happy. We make ourselves happy. And for those of us with relational wounding and a tendency towards spinning out or getting the ick or whatever, it is the biggest and most beautiful invitation. Like, I know how frustrating it can be. If you listen to this podcast and you're like, wow, that story. Like, I have so many stories like that. I had such extreme relational anxiety, and then it spun out into relational avoidance, hilariously. But I had a lot of relational wounding. And I look back, and at the time, I was like, I just need this to go away. Like, I just need this to go away so that I can meet a person and be normal and not freak out and manage to, like, have a boyfriend. I just need it to go away. And I now look back and I'm so, so deeply grateful. So deeply grateful for the parts of me that freak out. Why? Because they initiated me into this work. I couldn't ignore them. They initiated me into looking deeper into myself, into learning what was actually going on inside of me, into my own sovereignty, into my own empowerment, into my body coming alive with energy, into all the incredible experiences I've had since being in this work. If I hadn't had that pain, if I hadn't had that, like, those extreme situations of feeling completely flawed by relational dynamics, I never would have stepped into this work. And through that, I never would have even had a glimpse of who I was really meant to be in this life. It's the biggest invitation. It's a gift. There's nothing wrong with you. It's a gift. And I really, really deeply believe that those of us who have this type of relational wounding are being initiated into this work because you can't ignore it. Relational anxiety and relational avoidance is so unbearably painful. And it's so unbearably painful because the wound is so deep. But in starting to work with that wound and in starting to heal that wound, oh my God, your life like just totally transforms. I'm so grateful. So I recorded this without any notes, so I'm sorry if it went off on a bit of a wild tangent at times, but I just felt the need to record a little poddy on that. And I hope it has been supportive for you. If you are in London, I have an evening event on the 23rd of January, which I would love for you to come along to if this podcast is speaking to you. If you're wanting to dip your toes into this work, 23rd of January in Shepherd's Bush. It would be beautiful to have you there. I still have a couple of spaces for retreat later this year. And if you want to talk about anything that's come up for you in this episode, just send me a message. I love talking to you in DMs. You are never bothering me. And I also promise to not suddenly start aggressively selling you something because that's not my jam. So my sweet love, have a beautiful rest of your day. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm sending you so much love, and I will speak to you soon.